You are listening to BensTorah.com.
A yomtiv that we conduct ourselves with, that's not mentioned in actuality in any of the biblical verses of the Torah. It's not mentioned in actuality in the actual Gemara itself. This specific minig of what we do when it comes to Lag BaOmer as a yomtiv was developed much later on. The question is, what is the nature of the yomtiv of Lag BaOmer? Why do we declare it a yomtiv? What are we doing on this day to celebrate this yomtiv, to show the uniqueness of this yomtiv, the essence of the day? What does it represent? One thing is for sure, that when you look throughout Klal Yisrael, you do find that there is a minig to look upon this as, in fact, a Yom Tov from various perspectives. Number one, we don't say any Tachnun on Lag BaOmer, which for many people is a big Yom Tov. But besides that, the fact of the matter is that when it comes to the Simcha that was supposed to exist between Pesach and Shavuos, before the death of Rav Kiva's Talmidim, we're supposed to be a concept of a Chol HaMoed, which is a quasi-yomtiv with simchas, yomtiv and such. It seems that even though there is an Avelis period during most of the Sfira, some start from the very beginning, from the first day of the 16th of Nisan, and go up to Lag BaOmer with the Avelis. Some start later on, Baruch Chodesh, different Hagim exist. But there seems to be one universal minig, that when you hit the day of Lag BaOmer, which is Yud Ches Iyar, it seems on that day, there is a minig amongst the, especially the Ashkenazic community, for Sfaradim and so on, Lamed Dalet, that they look upon this as a special Yom Tov. And the major question is why. On this day, we basically speaking don't have any concerns about singing, about dancing, about doing things that normally are also during the Avelis period, during Sfira. Seems all the Avelis is taken away. We're able to cut our hair, take haircuts, participate in major gatherings of Simcha and dancing as to show that there is a Yom Tov flavor to it. But at the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves a very important question, and that is, what, in fact, are we celebrating? What is the commemoration of Lag BaOmer? What does it mean to us? So I want to share with you various positions taken by different Gedolim over the years, and with it you'll be able to see the multidimensional nature of Lag BaOmer, what it symbolizes, what it signifies, certain minhagim that ultimately emanated from it. So sit back and watch and relax, and let me explain to you why Lag BaOmer was given such chashivus in the eyes of Chazal to actually treat it as a very, very simchidik, a yomtiv, and why everybody runs in Eretz Yisrael, possible to Meron, to go to the kever of Rav Shim ben Yochai and his son. And you have thousands and thousands of people coming and coming. Everybody's lighting bonfires all around Eretz Israel, even America now. We've exported the minhag of lighting bonfires in many places, of hopefully with the supervision of the fire department. We don't want to cause any major tzaras. But the question is, what is the reason behind this? So the most famous opinion that we have when it comes to why it's a Yom Simcha, and the one that really draws the crowds to come to Meiron, to Rav Shim ben Yochai's Kever on this day, is the following tradition brought down by many, many of the earlier poskim, the Gedolim, on this topic. And they say the following, and I want you to listen very carefully. What they say is that they have a Kabbalah, that one of Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim, Rav Shimon ben Yochai, who was his Talmud, that amongst the, together with him, there were four others making five, that became the new Talmidei HaYeshiva of Rabbi Akiva after his 24,000 earlier Talmidim passed away during the 33 days in the Sfira period. Now, all of these Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara tells us in various places, were the ones who took the Mesara of Kol HaTorah Kula, Torah Shebaktav and Torah Shebaapeh, which Rabbi Akiva had mastered on the highest conceptual practical level possible. And he gave over that Mesara of Kol HaTorah Kula all over to his five great Talmidim. These great Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva were the ones who penned the greatest of the Sfarim of Halacha and Hashkafes HaTorah that we have today. The Mishnayos, quite obviously, are attributed to Rav Meir. Sifra attributed to Rabbi Yehuda. We then have the Sifrei, also attributed to his Talmidim. We have, as I say, the major Tanakh literature of interpreting Torah Shebaktav upi Torah Shebaapeh coming from the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. But one more dimension of his Talmidim is a dimension that was added by Rav Shim ben Yochai. Rav Shim ben Yochai was megala to the world, a dimension of Torah that literally was hidden from most Jews, and that is the Kabbalistic traditions of Torah Shebaapeh. Now, the Kabbalistic traditions of Torah Shebaapeh go all the way back to Har Sinai, as the Ramban himself, who is Makuba, mentions in his Hagdama to the Torah itself. And up until that point in time, these Sisrei Torah, these hidden secrets of Hashkafes HaTorah, it was kept under the hands and minds and possessions of Yechidei HaSegula. It wasn't revealed to the Hamonam, to the people at large, to have access on it. Even great Talmid Chacham who were not Mekubalim didn't have access. And when Rav Shim ben Yochai, who was known to have mastered the ultimate secrets of Kabbalistic literature, of Kabbalistic Sodos, they say that on the 33rd day of the Omer, which is basically Lag BaOmer, was a day of tremendous spiritual gilui, spiritual revelation, in which he taught his Talmidim and to the world at large the basic concepts of Kabbalistic literature. They say that the Zohar, which is attributed to Rav Shim ben Yochai, was composed and written and put into his existence on the 33rd day of the Omer itself. And after Rav Shim ben Yochai made this revelation and had the light of Torah, of this very, very holy light of the Nista of Torah revealed to the world at large. In fact, Chazal say he was so busy the whole day teaching this and revealing this that even the daylight of the day of Lag BaOmer was prolonged on his behalf by the Rabbeinu Shalom, not letting the sun set until he finished his total disclosure of all the major Kabbalistic concepts contained in the Zohar, which Hashem wanted Rav Shim ben Yochai to reveal to the world before he left this world. After he completed this revelation, he then passed away. He went from this world to Olam Emes, to the world to come, to the Kisa covered of the Rabbeinu Shalom. So the Yom of Histakaluso, the ultimate leaving of Rav Shim ben Yochai from this world, happened on Lag BaOmer upon the completion of that day. But the day was a composite of many, many special things. From a spiritual perspective, it was a day of tremendous spiritual enlightenment and radiation of spiritual Torahs. We have a principle, Kinyan Mitzvah V'Teira Ar, the Ar of Teira was revealed on the highest conceptual, practical level possible, with Seydus HaTeira being revealed by him. Now, quite obviously, Hershim Ben Yochai did not know this by himself, but this is part of the Kabbalahs of Kol HaTeira Kula. He received ultimately from Rabbi Kiva, who was the Makar of all the Teira of his Talmidim. So if there, Shimon Yochai revealed Kabbalistic concepts, it wasn't his own Kabbalistic concepts, but he learned privately between himself and his Rebbe. Rebbe Kiva told him this, showed him this, gave him this type of information on a very high special level. And therefore, the day of Lag Ba'omer was the day that became, ironically, something very unique and special. Normally, when we're commemorating the Petira of a Tzaddik on a specific Yahrzeit, at least in the Litvisha world, it's not looked upon as a happy occasion. It's looked upon as the day of loss. Well, we lost the ability, the schus, to learn by this person. In certain Litvisha communities, they fast on Yahrzeits. But the fact of the matter is, ironically, when it comes to Lag Ba'omer, and if it's the Yom Histaklusa, the day of the ultimate leaving of Shimon ben Yochai from this world, the way we act, and it's not only Hasidish people who do this, but even many Litvish people do this as well, it's a day of Simcha and Rikud and Sudais and Tiyulim. It's an incredible day of enjoyment and Simcha Shal Mitzvah. Forever, people have told me, have gone to Meron and Shalom and Kadmonios, were able to see tremendous Simcha and dancing, Shira Shal Mitzvah. You can't be Mavatl Shira Shal Mitzvah, songs of Simcha, of Mitzvah and Torah. Because Chazal say that, we're going back in Jewish history, if you think about the concept of the Simcha of the Beis HaShoeva in the Beis HaMikdash during Sukkot. Chazal say the concept of Simcha Shomitz that was generated by the singing and the dancing of the Tanoim and the Gedolim and the Tzadikim of that generation and the Nigunim and the Simcha and the dancing and everything else generated such an intense Simcha Shomitz at the time of the Beis HaMikdash's existence, that people who attended the Simcha Ben She'eva had a spiritual aliyah. In fact, they say that the famous Navi, Yaina, the famous one who was the author of Sefer Yaina, that this Yaina, when he came to the Simcha Ben She'eva in Yerushalayim and experienced the Simcha Shal Mitzvah, he was given the Ruach HaKodesh needed to obtain the Vua and became a Navi at that moment in time. In fact, Chazal say Simcha Beis HaShoeva is, what is it called, Simcha Beis HaShoeva? Shemisham Shavu Ruach HaKodesh. The people are able in Simcha Shal Mitzvahs to raise themselves to the level of Simcha Shal Mitzvah to be able to receive Nevuah. The story tells us in Sefer Malachim that when Elisha was in a state of depression after Eliyahu left him in that fiery chariot and went to Shemayim and he was confronted with other tzaras taking place, he was in a state of depression. He wasn't able to have nevuah. And what the Tanakh tells us is when he saw people needed a nevuah from him, he says, Kechemi menagen, bring me a good tachazin, bring me a person who's a good baal menagen, who can sing songs of Simcha Shal Mitzvah and play music together with it. And it was said that Kashahi nagen ha-menagen, when he heard the songs, when he heard the music, when he heard the lyrics of Simcha Shal Mitzvah, V'tiel of Yad Hashem, he once again got Ruach HaKodesh, and his Keach Nevuah returned. So the concept of Simcha Shal Mitzvah by Nigunim, by singing and dancing, the prototype goes back to the Beis HaMikdash, and it seems, historically, they made the Yom of Histakalusa, what they call the Bei Hilula of the Hashim Ben Yochai and Lag Ba'omer, a microcosmic form of the Simcha Shal Mitzvah, which Klal Yisrael experienced at the time the Beis HaMikdash was Kayim, during the ultimate experience of the Simcha's Beis HaShoeva. And this has been the minhag. But I want to point out to you, some of the Hasidish Gedolim, since they ultimately said that the Chachma of the Godless, of Shim ben Yochai, has to ultimately go back and be attributed to Rabbi Akiva. He was the source, the makar of this Messiah that Shim ben Yochai benefited from. And he allowed his Talmud to megala that part of the Torah, the same way he allowed the other Talmud then to megala the part of Torah Shabbat Peh, that is the Megula, the open Torah Shabbat Peh. He allowed his Talmud, Shim ben Yochai, to megala the Seser, the hidden parts of Torah Shabbat Peh, all going back to Har Sinai. So therefore, some Hasidic rabbis had a minik that on the day of Lag BaOmer, not only did they go to make a Simcha Shal Mitzvah and light fires and celebrate this at the Kever of Shim ben Yochai and the sun, but they also went to the Kever Rabbi Akiva and lit fires and etc. and etc. and did Simchas and celebrated Sudis in order to commemorate the powerful revelation of Teres HaNigla, Teres Shabbat Peh, taking place on this very, very holy day. I want to mention the concept of making bonfires and lights and everything else. As I pointed out before, we have a Kabbalah, Kine Mitzvah, Teres, Taurus full of light, Taurus full of radiation, spiritual radiation. And if that's the case, that's why even by the Simchas Beis HaSheva, there were tremendous torches lit, so the R, the light, the radiation of the spirituality of the Simchas Beis HaSheva should be felt throughout Yerushalayim and seen from the distances. Likewise over here, in order to highlight the spiritual radiation of the concept of the Torah itself being Mezgala, Kiner Mitzvah Torah, that the Ara Torah being Mezgala on such a high spiritual plane, that not only the Nigla of Torah Shabbat Peh, but the Nist of Torah Shabbat Peh was being revealed and let people were able to see and experience the godless of Teres HaNister when it comes to what's contained in the hidden secrets of the Torah that Rosh Hashanah facilitated with the creation of the Zohar and the teachings he taught that entire day before he left this world. They therefore commemorate that radiation, that simcha, that brilliant light by lighting bonfires, not just a candle, but bonfires, big fires, to show the radiance of the Torah, the Simcha Shal Torah, the Ar Shal HaTorah, Kiner Mitzvah, the Torah Ar. Torah is a form of light, of radiation, spiritual radiation. And the bonfires that are lit and created, therefore, teach us what to concentrate upon when it comes to be Misameach, the day of Lag BaOmer. So therefore, a lot of the Mekeres of what we do on this special day is geared to, therefore, the Roshim ben Yochai's Histapeluso, the Behiluba of Roshim ben Yochai, the teachings of Roshim ben Yochai. All of this, quite obviously, is what's being celebrated on this specific day, and they do it the way it should be done, B'Simcha Shal Mitzvah, in a B'Kavadik way, in a Simcha Dik way, in a Kedusha Dik way, and that's one of the sources while Lag BaOmer is given a din of a Yom Tiv, and all the things we do on that day literally negate any avelos that we were conducting ourselves with during Sfira, and make it a Yom Tiv Gadol for Klal Yisrael with tremendous, tremendous spiritual impact. But I want to mention that there are other concepts, other themes mentioned in the Rishonim as well about the special nature and the uniqueness, the incredible uniqueness of the Lag BaOmer. There is a tradition, a very more popular tradition many people know, and that is the tradition that the death of the Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, which took place for 33 days, that it stopped taking place when he came to Lag BaOmer. On Lag BaOmer, this tragedy of the death of 24,000 Talmidim ended, it stopped, and therefore what we are trying to celebrate is that the avelus of Torah of losing so many Talmidei Chachamim terminated the birth of a new group of Chachamim who quite obviously were now can come to replace those 24,000 Talmidim, if not in number, in quality, and Eichus HaGadol, in tremendous, tremendous quality of the godless of these five Gedolim, they were now going to be the new Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, to spread the light of his Torah, of Kula Torah Kula, of Torah Snigla Vanista for generations to come. And therefore, that's what we're celebrating on Lag Ba'omer, the termination of the holding back of the Torah of Rabbi Akiva, and the ability to give it a rebirth, a beginning with new Talmidim, new Gedolim, who are going to emanate from him, to make sure the Messiahs of Teresh Uksav and Teresh Vapeh, Benigal Nister, is continuing from Har Sinai to generations to come, to the end of time. So this is another reason we're making this tremendous celebration on the day of Lag BaOmer, to commemorate this specific fact as well. Very important to know this, understand this, and comprehend this.
You are listening especially to BenStorah.com.
If you think that what Chazal said, one of the major problems of why, in fact, the tragedy did take place, when it comes to the terrible tragedies, Rachman al-Tzlan, of the death of Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim, the Gemara says, there was a lack of proper kavod that they had for one another, which caused the Chil Hashem, and ultimately caused the deaths, as I've explained in some of my early shurim you heard from me a week or two ago. What I wanted to mention, however, is that the Rabbi Akiva, when it came to the Klal Gadol Torah, as I mentioned then, held the greatest Klal Gadol we have b'Torah is V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha, the concept of love. Love of your fellow Jew. Love of your fellow human being. Klal Gadol Shebetera. All the five Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva espoused and personified these five Talmidim the concepts of V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. Just take the time and effort after the shiur today to open up a simple Pirkei Avos. And Talmidos and Talmidim will look at the sixth chapter, the chapter that was added on to the Avos that we recite, especially between Pesach and between Shavuos. Normally, in the Mishnayos, it had five chapters. We have a sixth chapter, which is a Braisa. And who is the major person who wrote this chapter? It was the Tana Rav Meir, one of the leading Talmidim of the five Talmidim of the great Rabbi Akiva. And what he does in this specific first couple halachas, first brisos contained in this experiment, is talk about the concept of kinyan Torah, what we need to be able to acquire Torah, to be zochet to acquire the Torah, to be zochet to give over the Torah. And over there you will find one of the major themes of this specific Gadol Rav Meir, is the concept of Avas HaBrios, Avas Yisrael, the concept of Misameach HaMakom and Misameach HaSabrios, the concept of Kovid HaBrios, Kovid of your Rebbe, Kovid of your fellow Talmud, Kovid HaBrios. I mean, there's so much stated by Rav Meir, which is a further amplification and literally expansion of the concept of Hafter Kamocha, which was articulated by Rabbi Akiva as the Klal Gadol. You're able to see the expanse of what Rabbi Akiva said when it's the Klal Gadol Shebetera, what he meant in the holy writings of Aramea in the sixth chapter, Pirkei Avos, in the first major Mishnah over there. Read it and you'll see what I mean today after the shir is over. But I want to go further over here. There's a very famous story that when the Ari HaKadosh, who could obviously was the great Mekubal of his generation, could obviously he had understood and was Mekabal from generations earlier the Kabbalistic teachings of Rav Shimon ben Yochai and the Zayar. He was the giant of Kabbalah of his generation. If Kabbalah thrived during his Tekufa, it was from the efforts, the activities of this great tzaddik. The tzaddik I'm referring to over here is the Ari HaKadosh. All the great mukubalim later on that we have from those generations onward were the Talmidim of the Ari HaKadosh. Before the Ari HaKadosh passed away, the story goes that he told his Talmud Muvach, Rav Chaim Vital, that I want you to give over a message to my great Talmidim, my great Kabbalists that I created over here. After I pass away, I want you to give them over a message, an important message that they should keep to the heart and mind as one of the major objectives of the spiritual greatness they achieved by learning Kabbalah from me. And the story goes that when Ari HaKadosh died, and he died at a very young age, the Talmidim went to Rav Chaim Vital, and they said to him, what did Rebbe mean? What was the major yesodos he wanted us to learn and to perfect? And he felt that we still have to be involved in their perfection. So Rav Chaim Vital said to the Talmidim, because Rav Chaim Vital was the most superior of all the Talmidim of the Ari, he said, this is what Rebbe meant. Rebbe said that during his lifetime, the schus he had to teach all of you to become a great Kabbalist, you were perfectionist in perfecting the Bein Adam L'Makayim, in reaching the Kabbalistic concepts of the Torah on such an intense level that you were able to connect to Hashem on levels that most other human beings are not capable of achieving during their lifetime. You brought the Yediyas Hashem and the Hischabrus to Hashem and the Devekas to Hashem to the highest level possible using Kabbalistic concepts to be the facilitators of your Torah knowledge to accomplish this. But Rebbe said, but there's only one problem. Torah itself is not only Bein Adam L'Makom, but Torah is Bein Adam L'Chaveru, deals with interpersonal relationships we have with all other human beings. After all, the Torah tells us Hashem created all human beings, Jew and non-Jew, B'Tzelem Elokim. Hashem was megalo this in the Torah. In fact, Rabbi Akiva emphasizes this in the third chapter, Pirkei Avos. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. Chibi Yisera Shenodas Lehem. That Hashem created us B'Tzelem Elokim. And he wanted us to know this by mentioning this explicitly in the Psukim of Sefer Bereishis. Nas Adam B'Tzalmenu K'demuseinu. We're all created B'Tzelem Elokim, and it applies to Jew and non-Jew alike. The Tesis Yomta says Rabbi Kiva, who's the mentor of Yashim Ben Yochai, and all of Yashim Ben Yochai, who's the ultimate mentor of the Ari HaKadosh, when it comes to the teachings of Yashim Ben Yochai, which were inherited ultimately by the Ari and disseminated to his Talmid in the world at large. Rabbi Kiva says, we have a mandate in this world, not only to perfect ourselves as Klal Yisrael and spiritually uplift ourselves, using Torah as the mechanism to accomplish this and develop a connection and devekas between ourselves and the Rabbeinu Shalom, but part of the job of Klal Yisrael is to inspire the non-Jewish world to let them know what their responsibilities are when it comes to observing Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. But even above doing the actual mitzvahs, we have a chiv to be megala to the non-Jewish world. They are created B'Tzelem Elokim. They're not just a two-legged animal like other animals, acting like animals, but they are basically godlike entities. They're made in the Tzelem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They have a divine capacity Hashem empowered them with. And they therefore have to realize they can't conduct themselves as the animals of this world. They just can't do what they want to do. They have to do things that Hashem commands them to do and follow a spiritual life that Hashem has basically cut out for Jews to conduct themselves with Tayag Mitzvahs, Goyim to conduct themselves with Sheva Mitzvahs, all of them are giving a fine-tuning of our interaction between ourselves and the Rabbeinu Shalom and our interactions between ourselves and our fellow human being. So if that's the case of Rabbi Kiva, so we have to teach the Goyim that they have a Tzelem Elokim and what that means and what their spiritual capacities are to listen to Hashem, to model themselves after Hashem's divine attributes contained in the Torah, which they were supposed to learn as well. So based upon this, the Ari HaKadosh told Rav Chaim Vital to tell his Talmidim that even though you mastered with total perfection the Bein Adam L'Makom of our spiritual responsibilities in this world, I still feel you have to master and perfect your Bein Adam L'Chaveru. I still sense that the concept of not just Avos Yisrael, but Avos HaBrios, feeling an Ava for all creatures created by Tzelem Elokim, has to be uplifted, has to be perfected. That your tikkunim that you're going to accomplish with your Kabbalistic knowledge cannot reach its shleimus unless not only is it geared to Bein Adam LaMakom, but it's geared also to Bein Adam LaChavero. There has to be an emphasis, because at the end of the day, Klal Yisrael is going to be an Ur LaGoyim. The Mashiach that's going to come to redeem Klal Yisrael is coming to redeem the world. The Mashiach is going to be a leader, spiritual leader, mentor, not only to the Jewish people, but to every member of the Umas Olam that is still left alive after Yemos HaMashiach comes and all the tumult takes place and all the Yeshuas and Refuas take place. There's going to be a certain segment of the non-Jewish world that have proven to be monotheist, want to be dedicated to Hashem, to be Choshava, Chasidu Umas Olam, to worship Hashem and to be in a state of shalom and connectivity and respect between themselves and Klal Yisrael. The Ram beautifully describes this in the last chapter of his Sefer Mishneh Torah, when he talks about Hilchas Malachim, how the Goyim are going to interact with us on a spiritual, intellectual level when it comes to us teaching them how to come close to Hashem from the time of Yemos HaMashiach and onwards to the end of time. We're going to be an Ohr LaGoyim, a spiritual light to the nations of the world. So if that's the case, the Ari Torah, Chaim Vital Talos Tamidim, be Asuk in the Bein Adam Chaveh of Avas HaBrios, the same way Asuk in Avat Hashem, to cause a Shleimus in your spiritual tikkunim of this world. So could obviously, if that's the case, what greater Avas HaBrios can be for everybody to come together on the day of Lag Ba'Omer, where Shim ben Yochai, quite obviously, who's representing the Hashkafas of Rabbi Akiva, going back to the Hashkafas, ultimately speaking, of the Rabbeinu Shalom, that we have to therefore do whatever we have to do to bring ourselves together, to dance together, to sing together, to Mesameach HaTorah together. That's what the essence of the day is. The lighting of the bonfire is not just lighting a fire, a bonfire, and having a burn. The purpose of the bonfire is to talk about Torah is a form of spiritual radiation, spiritual illumination. When you see that bonfire lit, you're supposed to think of this is the R coming from the Torah, impacting upon the world in which we live. When the Torah was given, Har Sinai was given with lightning, with fire all around, to basically emphasize the light and illumination of Torah. As I mentioned before, on Lag Ba'Omer, when Rav Shimon Yochai died, the whole day he was Megala, the light of the Zohar, of the Torah, of Hanigla, of all the Kabbalistic literature. That light, that radiance, was basically allowed to expand and be seen in this world. As I mentioned before, Nes was done for him, because that day he taught the Kabbalistic concepts to all his Talmidim. It was a day that was lengthened by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in its daylight. The day was longer than a normal day in order for the light of the day to allow the light of the Torah to be seen and experienced by as many people as possible. So the lighting of the bonfires is not for games, not for sport, not just for spectacles, but is teaching us that we have to concentrate on the Ur Hamiti, the Ur of Hashemis Yemei HaBereishis, that special light from them, the Ur HaTorah. Every time we learn it, we have to feel the warmth and the light of Torah permeating our bodies. And we have to commemorate there for Lag BaOmer, the special light and brilliant light that came from the mouth of Shim ben Yochai and the Torah of Zohar that was taught to the world at that point in time. All of this is why the fires are lit. And that's why I told you some Hasidic Rebbes have a minig on Lag BaOmer, not only to make the bonfires and the lights and the singing and dancing at the Kever of Shim ben Yochai, but many even go to the Kever of Rabbi Akiva, and they delight the same exact thing, in order to show that what Shim ben Yochai knew and revealed to the world ultimately came from Rabbi Akiva. He was the Makar of Kol HaTorah Kula. The Masoros we have today all goes back to one individual, Rabbi Akiva, because he was left as the major remnant of the Gedolim of Maseres HaTer going back to Har Sinai. He was the God of Pals Chorban Bayis Sheni that kept everything together and caused ultimately the five great Talmidim of his to literally create the greatest Torah literature possible that we still use this very day in all our Batei Midrashos, in all our yeshivas, in all our seminaries around the world. This is the source material we use while going back to Rabbi Kiva and his great Talmidim and all the Kabbalistic literature we have today emanates from one of his greatest Talmidim, and that is Rabbi Shimon Yochai, who was one of the five Talmidim of this Rabbi Akiva. So we now see why it's such a peledik a day, a very, very special day. Now, what's interesting to note is that I saw in other Sfarim some other interesting chidushim, which I want to share with you. And that is the following. There are those who say that there are other things that took place on Lag BaOmer, which you should be aware of. Some say, for instance, that the man that we got in the Midbar, that after we finished all the food we took out of Mitzrayim with us, it happened that on Yud Ches Iyar, the man started to fall for Klal Yisrael, which happens to be Lag BaOmer. So the man, the divine bread, which Hashem gave us, began to fall for us and to feed us physically and spiritually from that time on. I want you to know, according to Kabbalistic literature, the man was not just a mere food that was given to us to eat, which it was, but it was, according to Kabbalistic literature, a crystallized form of Ziv HaShechina, of the holy divine radiance and presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the radiance emanating from the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was, according to Chazal, the formal crystallization, physical format of Ziv Shechina in the format of that bread. Klal Yisrael had reached a high level of spirituality in the Midbar with the help of the Anani HaKavod and all the things that were happening to them at that point in time. There was even to see the holy chariot of HaKadosh Baruch, the Maisim Merkava, when they crossed over Kriyas Yamsuf, Rosh Shifcha Yom HaShalor Yecheskel Ben Buzi, on higher levels than even the Vim, so later on, Yecheskel and others. So they, therefore, Klai Yisrael was Zocha in the Midbar, to eat a bread that also represented Ziv HaShechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a special divine light that has the powers to elevate us spiritually, to maintain us physically. Chazal say this Ziv HaShechina is what kept Moshe alive and gave him nutrition physically and spiritually when he was on Har Sinai 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't eat, he didn't drink, but he stayed alive. Chazal say it was the Ziv HaShechina. In that case, it was the pure, supernatural Ziv HaShechina that had no physical form that kept him going during those 40 days and 40 nights. We say in our Kabbalistic Teilatik literature that when it comes to Olam Haba at the end of time, when the world undergoes is after Geula, after redemption, after Mashiach's time, and we basically go into the Tekufa of Olam Haba, that we're no longer going to have that regular food to give us sustenance and sources of nourishment and allow us to continue to flourish for eternity, but we're going to have the Ziv HaShechina, in this case, the real Ziv HaShechina, the one that's the same one Moshe experienced in Har Sinai, that's purely spiritual, that's metaphysical, it has no physical form, it has a spiritual power that nourishes us physically and even basically and more importantly spiritually. That Ziv HaShechina was crystallized for them in the man, and that man therefore fell and gave them the ability for spiritual rectification and elevation besides physical substance on Lag BaOmer as well. Peledik, people don't know this, but this is what Chazal says, another historical fact that has to be taught to people. They should understand and comprehend the power and Kedusha of what Lag BaOmer symbolizes. There are other sources who say that, in fact, the day of Lag BaOmer was the day that supposedly Bar Kokhba had defeated the Roman legions and the army and was able to get rid of the Romans for a period of time. That's why Rabbi Kiva and many of the other Chum thought that he was perhaps a Mashiach personality because of what he accomplished on that specific day. So it commemorates, according to these opinions, the victory of Klal Yisrael at that time, momentarily getting rid of the oppression of the Roman government of that period of time, which unfortunately returned later on, which ended up with the destruction of Beitar, of Koravis, of the death of Bar Kokhba, and everything else. But the fact is, the supposed victory momentarily of Bar Kokhba took place also on Lag BaOmer, something also to be besimcha about when it came to Klal Yisrael's beginning to feel some type of redemption at that specific period. That is why some people have a minig, especially in Eretz Yisrael, that kids shoot bows and arrows on Lag BaOmer. Some say the reason is because if that was a military victory of Bar Kokhba for Klal Yisrael, they had arrows and they used to use bows and arrows as part of their major forms of fighting war. So to commemorate that Nitzachon, others say, based upon Kabbalistic literature, that the purpose of the rainbow that Hashem created at the time of Noah was to serve as a symbol that Hashem would keep the world in existence and wouldn't destroy it anymore. The way that the rainbow was shaped was a concept of Hashem's Haganas Olam, the protection of the existence of the world, the maintenance of the world, and Hashem watching us and protecting us, etc., etc. So Chazal point out, if you look at a bow and arrow, the way the bow is shaped, it's basically shaped very similar to a rainbow. So to commemorate that specific phenomenon, and that is the concept of Hashem's Shmira to Klal Yisrael, the children sometimes play with bow and arrows that day when it comes to saying that we're just trying to mention that what Hashem did was therefore, as they say, as long as Rav Shim ben Yechai was alive, people don't know this, there were no rainbows ever seen, because his presence, his spirituality, his Torah was so powerful. We didn't need rainbows to symbolize Hashem's Haganas Olam. The mere presence of Hashem ben Yechai and his teachings gave us a Hagana, gave us a protection against everything that was trying to get rid of us. So if that's the case, there's another reason that we look upon this day as a very special day. Lag BaOmer is full of power, full of tremendous, tremendous spiritual power. And therefore, we have to therefore say to Hashem, thank you for giving us such a special day. Thank you for giving us a special day which has so much meaning, so much significance, so much Musa Haskel contained. If you dig deeply into the Mekeres of Rishayim Achreinim, especially in the Hasidic world, they made a big, 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 tremendous emphasis of this Bei Helula, the Rosh Ben Yechai, in all of their Sfarim, and all their Divrei Teiras. There were many people who made Tziyumim of Zohar on Lag BaOmer to show that it was given on Lag BaOmer, and we're now being Masayimit after learning it an entire period of time on Lag BaOmer. There who knows how many different minhagim that were created to emphasize the godless of this specific period of time. So therefore, Talmidim and Talmidos, I want to leave you with the following bracha, that we should mispalat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he should give us the kayach and energy to be able to see and feel the Kedusha of Lag BaOmer as we experience it in the next couple of days. Realize all the various yesodas I just mentioned that Lag BaOmer represents to us on all different levels, spiritual levels, physical levels, historical levels. It's a day that has a special form of Kedusha, a special form of Tikkun, that we have to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are Zoche to be able to absorb it, to basically internalize it, and to raise ourselves to a higher spiritual plateau, to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to reach a level of Bais Sivak, to be Dvavik to Hashem on that level. Let's hope and pray. So as we experience the tikkunim and the kedusha of Lag BaOmer, it should arouse us to such a level of tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, such a level of desire to be davuk. It should usher in the period, a period of Yemais HaMashiach, the coming of the Mashiach, the coming of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, the coming once again of the renewal of all the various tikkunim that we had with the exposure of Kedusha of Hashem, with the light that emanated from the Beis HaMikdash, from the holy menorah that was there, the lights that emanated from the Simchas HaBeis HaShaeva of the Simcha of Sukkis. We should once again be able to feel the radiance of that spirituality and usher in the ultimate geula, the ultimate zchus of our ultimate redemption, the coming from Yemois HaMashiach, the Yemois, the concept of Olam Haba, v'mehei remeinu amen v'amen. Thank you for listening today. Have a wonderful Simchas Yom Tov and Lag BaOmer. But now you realize what you're celebrating. It should be enjoyable. It should be spiritually uplifting. L'shana haba yishlam habenuya.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.